Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, it's Wednesday afternoon already. We are halfway to the weekend. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Yeah, mild Wednesday afternoon, but change in the weather coming by the weekend. All right, so yesterday on the show, there was breaking news during our show. The House had unanimously voted to pass a bill demanding the release of the Epstein files. Not long after that, shortly after we got off the air, the Senate passed a bill, the same bill, demanding the release of the Epstein files, sending it to President Trump's desk. Will he sign it? I mean, how can he not sign it at this point? How can he not sign it after he was telling the Republicans, yeah, go ahead, let's vote to release the files? I don't know why there was that sudden turnaround, and we talked about the possibilities of that yesterday. But I would expect that the president would be in a position to where he would sign the bill. But the question is, could there be something that gets in the way of him signing the bill that makes him look good because he told Republicans to release the files, where he can say, hey, I did all I could. I mean, I said release the files. I have nothing to hide. I didn't do anything wrong. And maybe he didn't do anything wrong. I've never said he did anything wrong. And I don't think anybody's, well, outside of, you know, social media, outside of conversations among friends over drinks in bars, nobody's really said that President Trump was directly involved in this. Now, a great majority of the country, according to polls, believe that he knew what Epstein was up to. And look, I mean, if you knew Jeffrey Epstein, I mean, you had to know. I mean, I would think that he actually bragged about what he does. And there were girls around, so if you ever went to Epstein's house, you kind of had to know what was going on. I mean, again, if a good friend of yours is a big taco salesman, if he sells tacos, you'd probably know that he's selling tacos. So I would think that if you were good friends with Jeffrey Epstein, you would know what he's up to. But that doesn't mean you did anything wrong. So it's going to be interesting to see if the president actually signs the bill. But yeah, it did not take long for the Senate yesterday to pass that bill. So there was really nothing to the idea that sometimes the House will pass something knowing the Senate's not going to pass it, and then everybody's okay because it didn't actually pass. But in this case, the House passed it, the Senate passed it right away, and it's on the president's desk. So let's see if he signs it. And the vote in the House was 427-1. There was one vote against releasing the files, and that vote came from our own Louisiana representative, Clay Higgins. We're going to explain why he said no during the show today. Also, there is an article on our website by Courtney P. that says the next New Orleans city leaders should usher in era of harmony and cooperation. And I have been talking about this for, well, since Elena Moreno won. And then we were talking about this on Monday with the election being over the weekend, and now we know who the new city council members are going to be. So this is a time for a new mayor, new city council members to bring new life to New Orleans. And I think it's going to happen. But it's going to be a struggle. Because what is in play now in this city is this idea that we do things a certain way. And if, as mayor, if Elena Moreno really shakes things up, it's going to shake up a lot of people. It's going to piss off a lot of people. And I think she is. I hope she is strong enough, and again, I think she is, to go against the grain, to go against the way things have been done. And she is going to be approached by people who want to keep business the way it is in New Orleans. Let's do it the way we've been doing it. And we all know what that means. That means that things are open to corruption. And that means that people who slide money under the table to certain people get their way. That's all the stuff that needs to end. And I can't wait for the revelations of how LaToya Cantrell spent money as our mayor that she didn't need to spend. Because already, Elena Moreno, as mayor-elect, is talking about the inaugural ball is not going to be as big as in the past. The Mardi Gras ball is not going to be as big as in the past if they have the Mardi Gras ball. Now, you know Mayor Cantrell felt anointed. She was the queen, and she was not going to take the spotlight off of her. She was not going to put everything into the inaugural ball, everything into the Mardi Gras ball that she could put into those things. Probably spending a lot of money that did not need to be spent. So I can't wait for those revelations, and we see more of the truth of the Cantrell administration. Having said that, this is a moment when we, the voters, really, and the citizens of New Orleans, should be optimistic, and we should send positive messages to the city of New Orleans that we are indeed going to usher in an era of harmony and cooperation. And I just think this is a prime time for that to happen. And we as citizens also have to do our part. Because as a city, we're no better than the individuals that make up this city. So as an individual, if you do your part, and if every individual does their part, we're going to be a better city. So what is your part? You know, we can talk about that. But what is your part to helping make the city better, helping change the attitude of New Orleans? What is it that you can do as an individual? Because again, this city is no better than the collection of individuals that make up this city. And it starts with each individual. So we have a role to play in this, and we'll talk about that this afternoon. So there is a former Treasury Secretary, Larry Summers, and apparently he was such good friends with Jeffrey Epstein that with all the information that came out in the emails and with the apparent release of the Epstein files possibly coming up, this former Treasury Secretary, Larry Summers, says that he is going to step out of public life. He says, "I am deeply ashamed of my actions and recognize the pain they have caused. I take full responsibility for my misguided decision to continue communicating with Mr. Epstein." So apparently what he did was he consulted Jeffrey Epstein on how to have a relationship with somebody who is younger, knowing that Jeffrey Epstein might have the answers to that. So, you know, this is really, you know, this was a dumb thing for him to do. And he said in a statement that he's going to step away from public life and rebuild trust and repair relationships with the people closest to him. And apparently Epstein was helping him with this relationship with this younger girl. Now, did anything happen in terms of Epstein and underage girls? Well, I don't know about that yet. But here's a guy who says that he's really concerned about the Epstein files being released. He's concerned about the emails, and he is stepping back. And look, if I'm not mistaken, Larry Summers is a Democrat. Or Larry Summers was a Treasury Secretary for a Democrat. I think it was Bill Clinton. I think he was Bill Clinton's Treasury Secretary. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. But, you know, I've said all along when people have asked this question, well, you know, why didn't Biden release the files? Before I knew that there was an active investigation going on into the files, which meant that Biden could not release the files legally, I said that I thought Biden was probably trying to protect Democrats. This was never, the whole Epstein sescapade thing was never about only Republicans doing this. It was just about rich, powerful men doing it, and some of them, I'm sure, were Democrats. So, yeah, when you say, why didn't Biden release him, I think in the same way that the president has tried to maybe protect people, I think there are people on that list that Biden knows. And I don't think he wanted to release it, even if he could have released it. All right, so something happened at the Smoothie King Center the other night when the Pelicans were playing the Golden State Warriors. Draymond Green, who is a loudmouth. I mean, Draymond Green is, you know, he has never committed a foul that he didn't think was a fake foul. You know, I mean, he mouths off with the officials. He mouths off with a lot of people. Well, apparently he was face to face with a Pelicans fan who kept calling him Angel Reese. He kept calling him Angel Reese. And so what Draymond Green said is he kept calling me a woman. I mean, it was a good joke at first, but you can't keep calling me a woman. And he kept calling me a woman's name. And it was Angel Reese, who used to be with LSU, and now she's in the WNBA. So he went face-to-face with this guy, and security got involved in this. There was no, you know, physical violence or anything. But it does bring up a question. You know, especially in basketball, when the fans are so close to the players, do fans sometimes go too far? Do fans have a right to say whatever they want to the players and not expect the players to come back at them? And should that be the case? Should players not be able to come back at the fans? Should players just have to take it because it's their job, and I don't care what somebody shouts at you, you're being paid to do your job, and your job is on the court. Your job is not confronting fans. So should you just ignore it and do your job? And should fans be allowed to just say whatever they want to players without any kind of recourse? I think it's an interesting question, and we'll get your comments on that a little bit later. The owner of the Kansas City Chiefs says that she is asking for an alternate Super Bowl halftime show. Can we get over this? For God's sake, can we get over this? Bad Bunny is the Super Bowl halftime show. It's set. Guess what? You might not like Bad Bunny. So what? There are a lot of people who didn't like it when The Who performed at the halftime show when the Saints were in the Super Bowl. There are a lot of people who didn't like when Justin Timberlake did the halftime show or when Beyonce did the halftime show. Somebody's not going to be happy. Nobody's going to agree on the halftime show. So can't we just get over this? I don't understand why people are so obsessed with this. Now, if you're the daughter of the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, you probably don't have any problems in your life. Well, I say that jokingly. I mean, I'm sure she's got problems, but she doesn't have problems like you and I have. So maybe she's got more time to get into this. But the point is, a lot of people are still into this whole Bad Bunny thing. And she is also talking about a religious revival in the United States. So we'll talk about the comments of Gracie Hunt, the daughter of the Kansas City Chiefs owner, Clark Hunt. And she is a big fan of Erica Kirk and the Turning Point USA organization. And she believes that there is a religious revival in America. And she also says there should be an alternate Super Bowl. We'll get into that this afternoon as well. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. 260-1870. 870. Ian Hoke is back in the office doing paperwork today. Coleman is our studio producer. Good afternoon, Coleman.
Hey, it's good. How are we doing today?
Good. It is warming up. You must be happy.
Yes, it is. But the thing is, the studio is still cold, so I have to wear a long sleeve.
And yeah.
I was thinking about what you said about Draymond Green and fan interactions, right?
Yeah.
And it reminded me of that Ron Artest situation where he kind of like just jumped into the crowd, of course, and they had a whole melee. And I also thought, yeah, maybe there are instances where the fans do kind of go too far, because I remember earlier this season, I think, for the WNBA, there were people throwing little toys out in the court. So I could imagine if one of those players got hit in the head, I wouldn't be upset with the player at all if they really got upset and ran to whoever threw the thing. So I think there is a balance, yes. The athletes are supposed to maintain some sort of professionality, but they are human. And I do believe that when athletes, you know, show so much composure that they allow the fans to get away with so much, the fans kind of push the envelope to see if they can get away with something further and further, and it gets to the point where it does have to stop. You know?
Well, that's right. I think that's a good point, Coleman, because what happens is if the player ignores the fan tends to ramp it up. I mean, if a fan really wants to get to a player, the fan will ramp it up. And then it may get to a point where, like, the player wants to just, you know, confront the fan. So it's an interesting conversation because, in a way, I think the players need to do their job, which is on the court. And if somebody shouts something ugly to you, you know, at what point do we decide, well, that was too ugly? I mean, calling a player Angel Reese, I mean, if you take that too personally, you know, that's your problem. And, you know, Draymond Green is a bit of a crybaby anyway. So, but it's an interesting conversation, especially when it comes to the NBA, where the fans are right there with the players. I mean, literally on the court. I mean, if you have enough money, you're sitting on the floor on the court with the teams, and you're right there with the players. In fact, this guy was sitting right there in that row. So we'll talk a little bit about that later on. Hey, I might have gone to Bucky's last night.
Really now?
Yeah, I might have taken a drive.
Funny story about that. So one of my friends went to Florida for a paintball tournament, right? And he came back with ghost pepper Bucky's beef jerky and the scorpion sauce. And he gave it to me last night. So
Did you eat it? Did you eat that?
Yeah. So what happened? Well, I had at the bar I was at, and one of the patrons, he was like, "Hey, I want to taste the ghost pepper beef jerky. Can you open it?" And I know me, once something's open and I like it, I keep going at it. I really wanted to save it, but I let the guy taste it. He's like, "Oh yeah, it's pretty good." And I tasted it, but it was just so good. I just kept going, and I ate the whole bag.
Wait, you ate it? It wasn't too hot?
No, I love spicy foods. I love like ghost peppers. Even the scorpion sauce he bought me, I had some beef patties, and when I got home, I poured some of the scorpion sauce on the beef patties.
I couldn't take it.
Yeah.
I couldn't take it. I mean, I have to admit, as I have gotten older, my tolerance for spicy food has just gone totally downhill. But I brought you something.
Okay.
This is drizzled caramel popcorn. It's called Black and White. And so it's got a white drizzle on it and a chocolate drizzle on it, and
hey.
it looks really tasty. So I'll give this to you during the break.
I have so much Bucky's stuff now, and the irony is I have never been inside of a Bucky's once, but I've had Bucky's mugs and
koozies. I thought about getting you the new Bucky's Christmas nightgown, but I thought that I'd wait a little closer to Christmas before I get that for you.
I mean, if they have some thermal underwear, come on!
Look,
I hate the cold.
Look, I got to be honest with you, that Bucky's soft Christmas nightgown looks really comfortable. I mean, it looks comfortable. I mean, I would wear it. I would want to wear it. I mean, nobody sees you when you're sleeping, right? So I could buy a nightgown. It's not like I'm going out in public, but it would be really comfortable to sleep because it's long. I mean, it's open at the bottom, but it's like it's got long sleeves.
It's a long nightgown.
I mean, no, it's not some like sexy nightgown. It's like, it's like flannel kind of stuff, but it just looks really comfortable. And just the fact that it's supposed to be for women doesn't mean that a guy wouldn't be comfortable wearing that.
Yeah,
I would hope that there wouldn't be a fire in my apartment or anything.
I was dating this woman one time when she came to my house, and I would always let her borrow one of my shirts to sleep in. But she
that's always sexy.
Yeah, but she would always take my shirts home the next day when I brought her back home. So one night I spent the night at her house. I said, "Can I get one of those camisoles to sleep in? You always sleep in my shirts. Give me one of those camisoles or one of those."
If you want to join us for the comment this afternoon, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. So look, I don't have any really new news except that I think it's exciting that there's a strong possibility that Ole Miss coach Lane Kiffin is going to be LSU's new head football coach because the guy is a really, really good coach. In fact, at Ole Miss, they don't want him to leave. Guy called the show yesterday. He said, "I'm an Ole Miss fan, man. I don't want them to steal Lane Kiffin." So, you know, here's what they're singing in Oxford, Mississippi. Yeah, it's gonna be a big breakup if that happens. Hey, by the way, I have never been to Buc-ee's and not run into some of our listeners. And I ran into another one of our listeners last night at Buc-ee's, so it's kind of cool. Seems like it's a place where a lot of us enjoy going to. And I was just in the mood, stressful day, just wanted to take a drive. And they've completed a lot of the construction on I-10 heading to Mississippi. It's not all completed, but a lot of it's completed, and the completed part is nice and smooth. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. Wednesday afternoon, halfway to the weekend, and we'll be right back on WW.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Well, you know, look, I know there are a lot of people in New Orleans and a lot of people in America who are just, you know, really happy that the ICE agents are coming in to get rid of all those illegals. Yeah, let's get rid of those. Let's get rid of them. I mean, they're dirty, they're ugly, they're illegal. Let's get rid of them. I challenge many of you to really come up with a significant way in which illegals have directly impacted your life. I know there are cases where that happens, but you know, there are cases where American citizens impact your life. So this is not as big a problem as it's being portrayed to be. And it reminds me of back in the day when Republicans used African Americans as the enemy. And they tried to make white voters afraid of African Americans. That has not been as prominent. And what is happening now is they're using immigrants to make white American voters afraid of immigrants. There are some immigrants who do some bad things. There are more American citizens who do bad things. I am in favor of getting rid of the illegal criminals. The criminals, the illegal immigrants who commit crimes, I'm for getting them out of the country as soon as possible. As far as the illegals who hang out at the Home Depot or Lowe's, how many of you care whether or not they're illegal? How many conservatives hire them to do work around their house or to do work for their business? You know, if they're here working, and especially the DACA people, the young people who were brought here by their parents, and they're contributing to America, I am for them staying. Now, they need to become citizens, and they need to start aggressively working on becoming citizens. But I respect them for contributing to the country. So ICE agents are heading for New Orleans, and the last I heard, they might be here on Friday. There is an article on the WWL TV, WWL Louisiana website, that is about what you need to do to be prepared. And it's information from immigration attorney Glenn Wasserstein. And he's advising residents, citizens and non-citizens, what they should and should not do. For example, the first question should be whether or not the agent has a judicial warrant. If they come to your door, you can ask them right away, do you have a judicial warrant? And if you know somebody who's in this situation, you might want to pass this information on to them. They need to have a judicial warrant. If they don't, then you can simply say you do not have permission to enter and do not open the door. And you, you know, have to make them show the judicial warrant to let them in the door. Now, the ICE administrative warrants, these are forms I-200 and I-205, they do not authorize entry without consent. Now, these are self-created by ICE, so I'm assuming they're going to have what they need. But they don't have a right to enter your home if you say no. If you own a restaurant and they come into your restaurant, you have to let them into the main public area where the public is invited to come. You do not have to let them in private spaces, like the kitchen or employee-only areas. You do not have to let them in those areas. Now, you can stop them. They also need to ask permission for the owners and the managers to go into those areas. So you can stop them from going into those areas unless they have permission. If you're a bystander and you see something happening and the agents are approaching somebody in public, there must be consent unless they have a reason to believe that there's a problem. For example, an ICE agent can come up to you in public and the conversation needs to be consensual. They're exercising their right, and you can exercise your right to remain silent. You don't have to say anything. And at the end of the conversation, simply say, "Am I free to leave?" And at that point, if they say you can leave, then you can leave, unless they have reasonable suspicion that there's something illegal going on. So what do you not want to do? You never want to interfere with an arrest. You never want to provide false information, and you never want to run. If you run, if you do something to interfere in an arrest, this could lead to criminal liability and possibly an arrest. So those are things to think about. But you've heard in our news, former NOPD police chief and law professor Ronald Surpass saying that when he was asked, what should everybody have on them to show that they're legal? And he said, "I honestly don't know." So there's a lot of stuff that is really kind of just left up to ICE. And the way some of these raids have taken place, I have a feeling that sometimes it's arrest first and you get to ask questions later. And that sort of goes against the whole system of government that we have here, innocent until proven guilty. But we'll talk more about that coming up. But, you know, there are a lot of people who are very, very uncomfortable right now with these agents, ICE agents coming to New Orleans. So I think it's really interesting that this former police chief, Ronald Surpass, and law professor doesn't even know what you should have on you to show that you're in this country legally. I mean, I don't think I'm going to be a target, but would a driver's license help? I mean, it's interesting that he's not really sure what you need. So much discretion is left up to ICE, and the demented mind of Stephen Miller in the Trump administration is behind this. So this is one of the reasons why it should be concerning. But it's okay to try to get the illegals out of America. Let's just do it in the right way. I'm Scoot, and we will be right back on WWL.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Okay, Wednesday afternoon. Weekend is coming up. Looks like we'll have a little change of the weather between now and the weekend. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you are with us. Lot to talk about. I want to be open about this. I don't have a problem with getting the illegal immigrants out of America, especially the ones who have committed crimes. If you want to be in this country, you come to this country legally. But I'm not talking about the DACA people. I'm not talking about those people who were brought here by their parents. They were babies. They were children. They did not make the decision to come here illegally. When you're a kid, you have no choice but to follow your parents. When you're a baby, you follow your parents. If your parents moved from one house to another when you were a kid, what did you do? You went with your parents. You didn't say, I like this neighborhood, I'm staying here. You wouldn't have anywhere to stay because it's not your house anymore. So I don't blame those who came here because their parents brought them here. And many of those people are contributing to America. We should make it easier for them to become citizens. There should not be obstacles in the way. But they need to do their part to become U.S. citizens, and many of them do. But when it comes to the tactics of ICE currently, what bothers me is sometimes how they do it. And I think there are other ways to do it other than go into a classroom and take a child out in front of all of the child's peers and classmates. I think that's done to intimidate people. This is about the law. It's not about intimidating. It should not be about intimidating people. But again, I think this comes from the mind of Stephen Miller, who is half of the president's mind. And Stephen Miller is not somebody who I have any respect for. He is one of the ugliest people on the planet. I mean, he looks like he's got a giant head, and, you know, he's really hideous. So, you know, maybe he looks in the mirror and he gets mad every day. But he seems to think that anybody who doesn't look like him doesn't belong here. So I think a lot of this stuff is not coming from the president. It's coming from Stephen Miller. But the administration has this image of these strong tactics when it comes to ICE. And I think it's one thing to remove illegal people from our country. It's another thing to do it in certain ways. And I hope they don't come here to New Orleans. I haven't followed that closely what went on in Charlotte, because that's where they were before here. I don't know what they've done, but I know that in the past, ICE agents have made a point of showing Americans what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And they are going to come get you wherever you are. And I don't care if you're a kid, we're going to come get you, and we're going to pull you out of the classroom. We're going to come get you at church. We're going to get you. You could wait outside the classroom. You could wait outside the church. But the tactic has been to go into these places and to make a show out of doing the job. That's all about machismo. That's all about just showing that you're tough. And I get it. You know, a lot of these people who came to this country, the only way to deal with them is to be tough. But it's going to be, because we're going to get a close hand look at it. We're going to get to see what ICE does when they come to New Orleans. And it's a little concerning when somebody like Ronald Surpass, former NLPD chief and law professor at Loyola, it's a little disconcerting when he doesn't even know what you should have on yourself to show that you are legal or to show that you should not be deported. And we have heard cases where people have been mistakenly deported. We used to live in a country where you're innocent until proven guilty. One of the things that I fear today is that there are many situations that an American could be in, or that somebody on American soil could be in, and there's no presumption of innocence. There is more of a presumption of guilt because you look a certain way, because you're brown, because you don't speak English. You might automatically be a target when you should not be a target. So I don't know what's going to happen. Since I haven't seen a lot from Charlotte, and maybe it's because, and I mentioned the other day that, you know, there's been something personal in my life that I have been dealing with for really a couple of weeks now. And it ended when somebody very close to me's mom passed away Sunday. And I mean, now there, now there are other complications if things are not set up before somebody passes away. So, you know, my life has been very complicated off the air for a couple of weeks now. And maybe I missed something, but I didn't see a lot from Charlotte. So I'm hoping that that means that there have not been a lot of spectacles, because removing illegals from this country doesn't have to be a spectacle unless you want it to be. And one of the reasons that they were spectacles was to draw attention away from, say, the Epstein vials. So now, and yesterday, if you were listening yesterday, breaking news during our show, the House voted unanimously to release the Epstein files. And then not long after that, by the time I got off the air, I saw that the Senate unanimously approved the bill to release the Epstein files. The question now is the president actually going to sign the bill? Or is something going to come up and he doesn't actually sign the bill? I don't know the answer to that. Is the president trying to look like he's all behind it, and that's why he said vote for a release of the Epstein files, and both houses of Congress did, and then now there's going to be a reason why he can't sign it, but he says, look, I did all I could. I've got nothing to hide. And as I said at the beginning of the show, I have never said that the president was involved with underage girls. Never. His name is on manifests, documents, being on the plane several times. He was on the plane several times. But he didn't go to the island, apparently. Now, I don't know. What happened in the plane? I don't know. You don't know. We don't know what happened. But I'm not going to say anything happened if I don't know that it happened. But if you're on somebody's, you know, private jet like that, a big jet, you're pretty good friends with that person. And chances are you know what he's doing, but that doesn't mean that you did anything. So again, you know, we've got a lot going on here, and I hope that we as a country can expose the men who were involved in having sex or raping underage girls. Because they don't deserve the protection that they're getting. And they're being protected by people. They're being protected by people who might know who they are, and they're trying to protect them. But they're being protected right now. And when the files are released, I'm not exactly sure what we're going to get. I mean, I hope we find out the truth, but I don't know. Now, I'm going to share with you, coming up in a few minutes, I'm going to share with you why Louisiana Representative Clay Higgins was the only House member to vote no on releasing the Epstein files. He has a response to that, and he tells us why he voted no. I think the guy's a whack job, but he's got a reason, and I'm going to share the reason with you coming up. Let's go to John in Harvey. John, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Now, you know, I listen to your show occasionally, you know. But I don't think you understand the concept of illegal.
Okay.
Listen to me. Let me make my comment.
Okay.
If somebody's in this country illegally, they have no rights to be here in this country if they're here illegal. Now, as far as this accusation that you're slightly applying, you know, that Trump may have been doing something wrong on that plane, sure, you're saying, well, we got no proof he's doing, but, you know, you guys all knock it off. You got that Trump transmission syndrome, and you're probably the worst one I ever talked to. That's why I rarely ever listen to your show.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, I can't make everybody happy. I mean,
well, you're not making most. You live in an area,
John. This show is very, very successful. I'm going to leave it at that. Okay, you don't speak for everybody. This show is very successful.
You know, if it was a child molester applying, you'd go all for that. You know,
of course, I am definitely for child molesters. I have had fundraisers. I have had fundraisers to pay the attorneys to make sure that child molesters go free.
Well, chances are you're probably one of them.
Yeah, I love molesting children. It's fun. You know, they can't say no. It's great. It's great. I mean, why, you've never molested a child?
No.
Oh, come on, John. Come on. It's fun. Everybody does it.
Yeah, well, I think you probably lean more toward boys, but, you know, it's just the way you sound, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, if you want to judge me that way, you can, but no, I like girls better. I don't like boys at all. I like girls, actually. But you don't, yeah. You know, you might
you're
not want to believe it.
Probably transvestites.
Yeah. I am. You ought to see the way I dress at home.
I see the way you dress on the street. You look like you could be one of them.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you're paying a lot of attention to me for somebody who doesn't really listen very often.
Well, a blind squirrel gets acorn once in a while. I got to run across you occasionally.
So you like talking about nuts?
Yeah, kind you can eat, not the mono little boys like you like.
Okay. John, did you have anything else to add to this conversation?
No, except that I think... You're always going on the wrong side. I don't care what Trump does. He could cure cancer, and you'd be accusing him of putting doctors and hospitals out of business.
That's not. That's your perception, and I certainly don't want you to think something that's not true. That's not true, and I don't want you to think that, but I can't control, you know, what you think of me.
Well,
you don't really know me. You know that. You don't know me at all. I mean,
no,
you're
I
making
don't.
All
I
these.
Really
you're,
don't. No.
You're saying
I,
all
I
these.
Don't really care enough.
You're saying all these things, and you don't even know me, but you're making all these accusations.
I listened to your show one time. You made it. What really turned me off on you? If you want to know what really turned me off on you was when you were talking about the naked bicycle ride in the French Quarter. You made the statement that if the parents didn't call attention to the guy running around with this junk hanging out, that little teenage daughter would have never noticed it. And that's when I knew you was a sicko.
Well, I never, that's not exactly what I said. What I said
yes,
is that if,
yes,
no,
you
it's
said
not,
exactly.
Well, John, that's not what I mean. No, John, that's not what I said, you know, and I tell you what, the way you I love the fact, John, I love the fact that you really pay so much attention to me and you know how I dress and you know things that I've said on different occasions, so you're listening more than you say you're listening, and I appreciate that. And what I said about the naked bike ride is I said that if parents didn't make a big deal about it, kids would think it's funny, because a naked body's kind of funny if you don't add all kind of sexuality to it. Kids don't add all that stuff to it, so I don't know.
Yeah,
really
when a little girl sees some guy with his junk hanging out, that you think that's close to being normal?
No, it's not normal, but I don't think it's going to hurt him, John. I don't think it's going to hurt him at all. I mean, if you make a big deal about it and you start thinking about sex and all that, you'll make a big deal about it. But kids are, you know, hey, isn't that funny? Yeah, I don't think it's going to turn some girl into some kind of sex maniac if she sees some naked guy on a bike. I think it's really kind of funny. So I just want to say that I really appreciate that you had the freedom to call the show and that you had the freedom in America to say such ugly things about somebody that you don't even know. So I think you're the one that has the Scoot syndrome, because I'm kind of stuck in your head, and I'm glad you had a chance to express that opinion. Wow.
Hey, Scoot, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great.
All right.
I'm doing fine. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I could do the whole show like this. I could sound just like John. Just like John. And, you know, I could make comments about him because of the way he sounds, but I'm not going to lower myself to that point. I'm just not going to do it, you know? And of course I like molesting children. I mean, why not, you know? If that's what that guy thinks of me, he doesn't know anything about me. And, you know, in some ways, while it's hurtful, I just can't let that bother me. But John just sort of expresses the mentality of many people who call talk radio shows. And because John disagrees with me, he can think that nobody listens to this show. This is a very, I'm not going to brag, I'm only going to say this is a very popular show. And we have a lot of influence. And a lot of people listen. A lot of people who disagree with me listen. And that's okay, too. We're not trying to present some kind of specific agenda here. We're just doing a show talking about the top issues. Talking about local stuff like the ICE agents coming to New Orleans. I love when people say that I said something that I didn't say. And all I've said about the naked bike ride is, if you're a parent and these people on bikes who are... See, there are people who are just so hung up on sex that they think kids, like let's say an eight-year-old, they think an eight-year-old is immediately thinking about sex if they saw a naked person on a bike. To them, I think that's funny. And I think they would think that's funny. A six, seven, eight-year-old, they're not thinking about the intricacies of sex. You are, as an adult. If you're looking at these people and thinking about sex, maybe there's something wrong with you. But these kids aren't thinking about that unless you put it in their brains. And let's be honest, the sight of a person naked walking down the street's pretty damn funny. Especially a guy. I think Seinfeld, you know, the Seinfeld episode, you know, said it best when Elaine said, you know, a man's body is like utilitarian. I mean, it's not utilitarian. It's like, I don't remember. She said, it's like a Jeep. You know, a woman's body is a beautiful thing. A man's naked body, it's like a Jeep. And I agree with that. So I think when it comes to something like the naked bike ride, I think people make a big deal about it because they put their mind in the body of a child and think, this is what the child is thinking. I don't think that's what the child is thinking, unless you put that thought in their brains. But I don't want to bring that up in. I don't want to rehash that. But, you know, John obviously listens to conservative media too, and that's okay. Well, if it's okay for conservative media to exist, then it's okay for me, a radical moderate, registered independent, to exist. And I don't have to buy into either party, and I don't. I just got a text a few minutes ago, your boy Biden. I just simply said, if you want to text this show, don't be stupid. Biden's not my boy. I've criticized Biden many, countless times on this show. But people don't want to hear that. And really, we're getting away from politics on this show. But there are things that are going to come up like ICE. ICE is tied to the administration. ICE is coming to New Orleans. So that's not a political issue. It's ICE coming here, but it's tied to the administration because the administration is sending them here. But that's a local issue. The Epstein files is just an issue that we should all be interested in because it's about pedophiles. And we should expose the pedophiles. And I want to know who these men are. I want these men who did this. I want them called out. I want them named. I want their names out there. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're president. I don't care if they're president of a big company. I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. I don't care who they are. I want their names exposed. So to me, the whole Epstein file issue is not about politics. It's about pedophilia in America. It's about the fact that rich, powerful men have been getting away with having sex with underage girls for a long time. And it's time that we did more to stop it. And one way we can stop it is by exposing the names of people who do it. And if the people who are rich and famous, if they knew their name was going to be exposed, they would not have raped that underage girl. It's as simple as that. And that's why the Epstein Files is not about politics. You got a comment? Oakenheart Jewelers, talking text line, 504-260-1870.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So, the ICE agents are marching toward New Orleans. You know, these rich, powerful men, they've been keeping this a dirty little secret. You know, they pay money. They pay big money. And I'm going to mention this again. Why do the sex traffickers go to the city that the Super Bowl is in every year? When it's in New Orleans, the sex traffickers come here. We know it. In fact, NOPD is aware of that, and they try to go after them. Why do they come to the city where the Super Bowl is? Because there are rich, powerful men there. And it's the rich, powerful men that create the market for having sex with underage girls, which is rape. Let me share a text with you. You're a hypocrite. You just said that you want all of the pedos exposed, but it's okay to ride bikes naked in front of children. I mean, this doesn't even deserve a response. But that's the way a lot of people think. So what's the difference between riding a bike naked in front of children and being a pedophile? Do you know the difference? I'm going to just leave it at that. And I'm not even going to, because you know what? You're smart enough to know the difference between riding a bike naked in front of a child and the actions of a pedophile. So I'm not even going to answer it. And the people who don't know, well, you know, I don't think you can reason with them anyway. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Yeah, I'm giving my audience the credit for knowing the difference between riding a bike naked in front of a child. Just pass a whole group of people, a bunch of people naked riding a bike past children. Not on purpose, just because, you know, the naked bike ride is every year in the spring in New Orleans. And, you know, people make a big deal about it. I just don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it's turning anybody into any sex maniac or anything like that. NOPD leads the parade. So, you know, why don't you call NOPD? Why don't you talk to them about it? NOPD gives them escort through the city. And I have seen people, I've known people, I interviewed a woman for a video, and she came from Pensacola to see it. It's a spectacle. I mean, they're all dressed up. They're, you know, there's like mini, like kind of like bike float things. And it's a big spectacle. I'm not suggesting that you go see it. I'm not suggesting that you take your kids. But, I mean, there are kids who go to nudist camps. They don't necessarily turn out to be sex maniacs. There's no direct correlation between being at a nudist camp when your parents take you to a nudist camp when you're a kid and being a sex maniac. There's no connection there. So, again, I just don't know why people get so hysterical about that. I don't even know how this came. Oh, somebody brought this up. Oh, yeah, that guy talks like this, brought that up. But I'm giving my audience credit for knowing the difference between riding a bike in a group of people naked, and children see that, and the actions of what a pedophile actually does. Let's go to Val in New Orleans. Val, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good.
Okay, almost forgot what I wanted to say. What an interesting conversation when you and John, the whatever his name was. I like the way you handled it. You know, it, I think it went a little too far. But my comment partly to him is that if Donald Trump, he was involved in this, if he was, I wonder would he still support it? I really would like to know that, you know, the way talk as though, you know, no matter what people say about Donald Trump, that you're going to go against him, whatever it is. But wrong is wrong. That's all it took. But my other comment is the Epstein files. I wonder, they always ask Donald Trump, would he pardon Ghislaine Maxwell? You know, and I have a problem with that. But my question would be, why would he pardon Ghislaine Maxwell? I don't understand why would you? Why is the government involved in this issue in the first place? I don't understand all these things. Why is it up to the federal government to handle this particular case other than like P. Diddy or some other person that's been charged with a lot of things doing with women, sex, or whatever it is? I don't understand. And one of my other comments, you might not like this one. But I think the smoking gun with all this thing with the Epstein files, in my opinion, I've been studying it. When I say studying and looking at it, I think Melania Trump is part of it. And I'm saying that because I see pictures of her with them together. The few pictures that I've seen, and I'm sure when you take a picture at a party, you stand still for a party. And after that, you go back to partying. I don't know about you, but we don't stand there as a mannequin for the rest of the night. So what's going on with Melania Trump? Is my question. And well, is this why this thing is so critically protected by the federal government at this particular time?
Well, that's the question.
Mike Johnson needs to be held for obstruction of justice, in my opinion. That's just some of my thoughts right there.
Well, I mean, I understand. I understand your point. I don't think Melania is involved in this in any way. I don't get that reading off her body language. Why is the government involved, Val? Well, because there's investigation. There's investigation going on, and it is illegal for old men to have sex or to rape underage girls. And so there's an investigation. The government's involved in the investigation, and for some reason, the government has gone out of its way to withhold information. And I think it's because of the high ranking, rich, powerful people who are involved, because of the men who had sex with underage girls.
But it's not just men, apparently. Because Ghislaine Maxwell, as far as I know, she's a woman.
Okay. So
it's not just men. It's not just powerful men.
Well, no, I mean, she's guilty too, which is why she's in prison.
I can't tell she's guilty because they moved her to
Look, here's what I think. I think that the administration doesn't want her to talk, and I think that they are doing whatever they can to appease her to make sure that she doesn't talk, because she knows the men who had sex with the girls.
And guess what, Scoop? Ghislaine Maxwell is going to wind up dead at some point, and not by natural causes either. Yeah. Just like Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein was killed. There was not no suicide. He was killed.
I agree.
And anybody that don't think that, something wrong with you.
Well, I agree with you. I don't think Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide. Is Ghislaine Maxwell going to be found dead? I don't know. I mean, look, if she commits suicide, I'm going to be suspicious of that, too. But I think she is well protected at this point. But, you know, look, if you're involved in, see, this speaks to what I'm talking about. This speaks to the power of the men who are raping underage girls for their own sexual pleasure. This speaks to the volume of that these men are so powerful that they were able to kill Jeffrey Epstein. These men are so powerful that they have been able to influence Biden and now Trump, in my opinion, not to release these files, because they don't want their names out there. There are a lot of things you can do bad in our society and get away with it. There are a lot of things that you can do and be forgiven for it. Having sex with an underage girl is not among those things. And so right now, I think that what they're trying to do is they're doing what they can to appease Ghislaine Maxwell not to talk. There's one simple message for Ghislaine Maxwell. If you have a comment, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot, and we will be right back. This is WWL.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Yeah, look, if any ICE agents who come to New Orleans approach you, do not run, because that can lead to criminal liability. Don't run. You have the right to remain silent. You don't have to talk to them. They need to have a certain validated criminal warrant. They need to have a warrant. They don't have to enter your home if you don't want them to, if they don't have this warrant. If they have the warrant, well, that's another thing. But if they don't have the warrant, they can't enter your home. If you own a restaurant, they can't go into employee-only areas. They can't go into the kitchen. They have to have permission from, I guess, the owner, maybe the manager, to do that. So just a reminder, because they're expected. Last I heard was on Friday. So a lot of conversation about the Epstein files, and I don't mind having this conversation, because I would do whatever I could, and I don't have any control over it, but I would do whatever I could to expose the names. I don't care who they are. I don't care who is hurt by this. We should know the names of the men who had sex with underage girls. They raped underage girls for their sexual pleasure. Let's go to Chuck in Gonzales. Chuck, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. Good afternoon. I was watching on CNN yesterday. The girls were, in fact, it was weird because it was really the only station that was carrying it. But all the girls were talking. I don't know if it was in front of the Congress House or wherever they were doing it.
Yeah.
But they had Marjorie Taylor Greene and a couple of other congressmen there, too. And the thing, and plenty of women, I mean, and the brother of the girl that killed herself. The thing that I just kept saying over and over to myself is, now that they've got this group of women that have, you know, all have been, you know, molested, raped, whatever. And I like the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene used the word rape. She was not pulling any punches. She's in there for the real fight on this thing, which really surprises the hell out of me.
It surprises the hell out of me, too.
But anyway,
I'm happy that she's doing it.
Oh, absolutely. I think the Kool-Aid a little bit wore off on her, and she's realizing, let me come back down to reality.
Yeah, maybe she
be real.
Yeah, she might have peed the Kool-Aid out of her system.
Yeah, really. But this is what I don't understand, and I'm sure there's some legal whatever because of it. Why don't the girls just say the names of the guys that did it?
I don't know. I have heard they're afraid. But I still don't know why. I know. I don't know why they don't do it. It's, I mean, they know the names, and we know there are big names that you and I are going to recognize. I don't know the answer to that. It's a great question, Chuck.
I'll tell you why, I think.
Okay.
Because if they tip their hands and say all these names, and the reason why I think it's taken so long to get these files out is because they're destroying the evidence, but they're going to do some type of AI, whatever, and they're going to give us these files, and they go, here they are. We don't see anybody's names on them. How is anybody going to be able to prove anything differently? Then the girls would have egg all over their face going, right. Oh, my God, we thought the files were going to have all the names of the guys that raped us.
Well, excuse me, gentlemen. I would like to also submit that during the time when all this was happening, these girls were like 11 to 12 years old. They probably didn't even know who most of these high-powered men were. They were just clients to them. They probably weren't aware of, oh, this guy's the owner of that business, or this guy's the owner of this politician.
That's a good point, too.
Unaware, and, through age and time, and you know, now they're adults, they probably can maybe point some of them out, but I'm quite sure, like, at that time, they probably weren't aware exactly who these high-powered people were.
Yeah, I would think that they would know. I would think that they would know now.
I agree.
But Coleman, you may be right.
If they really just don't know, I agree. But I mean, it just seems like with all the attorneys involved, with all the powerful people that have been involved to try and get these files out into the open.
Yeah.
I got a feeling there's a lot of people that know who these guys are right now. Why don't they just say it?
Yeah. Chuck, it's a good question.
Paid off.
And look, somebody's going to ask that question. We're going to get a more definitive answer than we have right now, but I appreciate you bringing that up. You know, a lot of these young girls, when they were young, all they know is that there was a flabby man with man boobs on top of them. That's all they know. And I'm sorry that I'm so graphic, but it's okay to be graphic because you need to know how disgusting that was. Some flabby man with man boobs and this young girl. You need to know how disgusting that is. You need to know that. You need to have that visual because that's why I'm talking about this. Because it's important. These men need to be exposed. And I don't know when it's going to happen, but there are a lot of men that might have had to buy new pants because they've made number two in their pants over this whole thing and the possibility that's going to come out. Because this, if this comes out, and if it's some of the names that I think are on the list based on what I've heard, these men are going to be destroyed. And they should be. On the Scoot on the Air calendar on this day in 1966, this was the number one song in the country. You Keep Me Hanging On, Supremes. We'll be right back on WWL. All right, we can continue this conversation coming up in the next hour, but we've got more stuff to get to this afternoon. And, you know, sometimes I think fans go too far when they're shouting at players, especially in basketball, when the players and the fans are just right there together. Draymond Green confronted a Pelicans fan the other day. I want to talk about that confrontation. I'm Scoot. Hang on. We're coming right back with more. You're listening to WWL. It is Saints Falcons week, and I want to remind you that it's so simple. You can go to our website, WWL.com/contest with an S. It's WWL.com/contest with an S, and register to win two premium tickets to the game this Sunday. Kickoff is at 3 o'clock. Win tickets to the game, plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes to the tailgate party from Bullseye Event Group. Great food, premium liquor. Get a nice buzz. It's at Benson Tower, and then you just walk over to the dome after getting full, and you don't have to spend any money in the dome if you go to this, and enjoy the premium liquor, and then enjoy the game. It's a great thing, and you can register once every day, and you're running out of time, so register today, and if you've registered before, you can register once a day. It's WWL.com/contest with an S. You know that I do not like injustice. When something isn't fair, I'm going to talk about it. There's something that is going on. It involves politics. It involves music at West End. Now, many of you, like me, remember what West End used to be like. Remember Bart's. Remember Amberjack's. Remember Jaeger's. Remember Neo Beach. I mean, I can go on. if I just think about that time of my life, I'm lucky to be alive. I was single in my life at this time. I am so lucky to be. I met so many girls at Bart's on Sunday afternoon that it was amazing. But I met some really, really good. I mean, I met a couple of people that I had, you know, lasting relationships with. So it wasn't just like, you know, a pickup thing. Well, there might have been a few. But it wasn't just a pickup thing. So, you know, I met some really, really, really cool people. The Lakefront West End used to be awesome. And apparently there is a citizen complaining about music at the Lakefront, in particular at Felix's and at the Blue Crab. And over time, Felix's, I know, has gone out of their way to lower the music to try to make things better. This particular woman continues to complain. And I don't think it's fair when one person starts something that is unfair to the general public. I have been at Bart's. I have been more recently, because Bart's isn't there anymore. That's where Landry's is. I have been to the Blue Crab. I have been to Felix's many times on a Sunday afternoon. If you want to live in a secluded area, go somewhere else. But there's activity at West End. And on Sunday afternoon, there is activity at Felix's, or there has been. And there's been music there. And I just think it's wrong when one person comes up with all these excuses about why there shouldn't be music. You know, maybe she's just a stick in the mud. Maybe she doesn't like to have fun. Maybe she can't stand the idea that you and I are having fun. You know, you and I know the type. We know the type. I don't know this woman, but that's the stereotype that I get of her. But, you know, you can't be the one that shuts everything down. And there's a problem with payment of extra fees to have music. And, you know, look, it's just not fair. My friend Danny is on the phone. He owns Felix's. Danny, I know there's a meeting that involves public input today and tomorrow. And let's talk about that. I appreciate you being with us, and I'm sorry that you're going through this. And to me, this is typical New Orleans politics that needs to come to an end, and we need to stand up and stop a few people who think they have power, and maybe they've got some influence with friends. Maybe this woman has some influence with some friends, and maybe she is pulling her weight around. I just don't think it's fair that it shuts down music at Felix's on a Sunday afternoon or a Saturday afternoon, which is part of West End.
Well, thanks, Scoot. I mean, I can't express my appreciation for you giving me the time. You know, this is, it's kind of like, I know you and I have been through another situation. This is like Orleans Parish or French Quarter Sanitation Department, part two. It's like you're trying to do something good and you're fighting City Hall. And you mentioned several of the places, and I remember Bart's. I remember that. I'm 64 years old. I'll be 65 in 2 weeks, and I remember all of that. And it was wide open. It was wild. And,
oh, it's
and
crazy.
I'm not criticizing them at all. That's just what the environment was, and there were a lot of condo buildings built after all of that, shall I say, debauchery, and not to mention that live music has been at the Lakefront since the 1880s, and we are playing stuff that is consistent with our age group. We have actually had. We've asked bands to leave because they would not turn down their volume. We monitor. I have a log, Scoot, going back 2 or 3 years, where we monitor the decibel level of every show, and we have done our best to comply with all the regulations to be a good neighbor. When I bought this in 2018,
from Jonathan Brisby. He had been there since 2013, and John's a good guy, and they had live music, and that was, as they say, baked into the cake. That was part of the economics of that business, was what I paid for, and I bought it, and we made a lot of improvements, and we're proud of what we've done, and everything rocked along, everything went along fine until, I can't remember, maybe 23, 24, but, you know, 5, 6, 7 years easily into it, and they say, well, you don't have this permit that I think was adopted in 19 or something, you don't comply with it.
Danny, who first complained?
Well, a neighbor complained. There are two sets of complainers. One was in a condo building over on the canal across from us. And then one was back over the levee, back over in the, you know, Lakeview neighborhood, which there's no way they could hear us over there. We were aimed across the canal. Mm-hmm. And we even monitored to make sure. We sent a policeman over there into their apartment with our decibel meter, and they said, you're not violating anything. You're not violating. So then we turned them around and said, well, we know we're not violating it now, but, you know, Scoot, I don't want to be a psychiatrist. I don't want to be a policeman. I don't want to attribute anything negative to anybody. I'm just saying all we want to be is a good neighbor. We comply with the decibel limits. We have music that is well within the norms. No parent would object to hearing their children listen to our bands. Yeah. We're a family restaurant. And yeah. And hell, Scoot, if we have any business after 9 or 10 o'clock on a Saturday or Sunday, we're lucky. We're cleaned out early.
All right, Danny, so what about the permit, and where is that pressure coming from? And then tell us about the meeting this afternoon at 4:30 and tomorrow afternoon at 4:30.
So the permit, the ultimate permit ultimately has to come from the New Orleans City Council. But before we can get there, the Louisiana management, I'm paying, I don't like to talk about numbers. I'll tell you in confidence, Scoot, but I don't want to say it on the air. We pay, I bought the building. I bought the business and the building and paid a huge price for it. And all and we pay a six-figure rent for the ground lease, because nobody owns any real estate in fee simple out there, the lakefront management. So the first step is, so the city, under the auspices of the health department, they came out there and called the lakefront police and said, hey, you need to go shut these guys down because they're exceeding the decibel limit, which we disagreed with. But we complied. When they came out there, we shut it down. So these two hearing, there's a whatever you call it today to hear the public, and then tomorrow's a board meeting. They did an appraisal and they said, well, guess what, Mr. Conwell, your lease is only for a restaurant. You don't have a lease for a restaurant and bar. So we're going to have to do an appraisal of how much that's worth. So now they're trying to gig me. And they are gigging me for an extra 10%, you know, go up to $120,000 a year or something like that, and to have live music. And I've told my lawyers, I said, look, this is disgusting to me, but I will begrudgingly accept it if they get us through to get the permit. So today's a public hearing. Tomorrow, the Lakefront Management Authority Board is going to vote on whether they ought to offer us a new lease at a ridiculous increase in cost that allows live music. And then if they vote for that, then we have to go through the whole city process, which goes all the way through the city council. It's ridiculous.
Are complaints equal about the Blue Crab restaurant, which also has live music outside?
Well, I'll tell you this. I can't say enough nice things about him. He has kept his music going. God bless him. I guess he's tougher than me. But someone came up at the last meeting and said, "Hey, Nick, I'm sorry this is affecting you. We're really only after the Felix's." And Nick looked at them and said, "Hey, we're joined at the hip. Whatever the rule is for Felix's is going to be the rule for us, and vice versa." So I really respect him as a gentleman for saying that. And I can't explain why certain people are against me.
And why are they? Yeah, why are they? Why are they after you and Felix's? And who are they?
I don't know. It's some woman across the levee in that neighborhood, and then there's one other across the apartment thing.
Well, that's a very bougie area, and sometimes people who have a little money feel like they can control their environment, and they live in this world with everybody else. And I guarantee you that area, Lakeview, across the levee, they have been exposed to music at West End for many, 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 many years. And why would they come after you?
I don't know, but Scoot, I know you live out. Don't you like music? I mean,
yeah.
You know, we live in the university section. We hear Loyola and Tulane students running up and down the street at 2 a.m, howling at the moon. People say, "Oh, is all that disruptive?" I tell them, "Are you out of your mind? I love that. It's youth. It's light. It's life."
Yeah.
I don't want to live. I don't want to live in a cemetery.
Yeah.
If you want to just have total quiet or whatever and nothing going on, no movement, go move out in the woods.
I'd love to talk to these two people who are complaining. I mean, I would love to talk to them on the air. I doubt if they're listening or if anybody knows them. I doubt that they would ever talk to me. But I would love to talk to them and find out why they think they have a right to shut down something that the public enjoys and something that, you know, even the police went out with a decibel meter and found that you were not violating any rules. I can't guarantee that I'm going to be there today, but I'm going to try to be there for the meeting tomorrow.
Please come tomorrow. Please come tomorrow. I understand you have family obligations. Family is always first, always. But please, Scoot, if you can come tomorrow, because I want people to see it through their own eyes. Don't accept what I'm saying.
Well, you know, we're all done with New Orleans politics the way it has been. And these people who are perpetuating this mentality are going to be shut out. At some point, they're going to be locked out. Helena Moreno is going to come in. We're going to have a new police officer in town when it comes to her being mayor. They're new city council members. And I think the old way of doing things in New Orleans are going to shut people out. And these people who think they're going to be in control forever, they're not going to be in control forever. And they're going to find themselves against the general public. And the public sometimes needs to stand up and stop allowing a few outsiders to control the narration.
Well, I pray that you're right, Scoot, and I support your I am totally appreciative of your support. I was in the French Quarter on Bourbon Street at 7:30 this morning, and you could have eaten an egg off the sidewalk. It's so clean. Sydney, and you know he got a six-month extension. We could talk about it some other time. But Troy's filing another. We're back in litigation.
Oh, wow. Well,
I'm confident we're going to win.
Good.
And
because
your support.
I think
you're a big part of it.
I think Sidney Torres is doing a great job, and Troy Henry's just trying to selfishly get something, and he's trying to play. He's trying to play cards that I don't think should be played. But anyway, that's going to catch up with Troy Henry. That's a whole different story. Danny, I appreciate you being with us, and good
Thanks,
luck with the
sir.
Meeting. And you know, let's
come
just
tomorrow, please.
I'm gonna do all I can to be there. I'm gonna plan on
okay.
being there. But Danny, I appreciate you being with us. So look, there is an attack by a couple of individuals who have pulled some strings, and they're trying to shut down music at West End. And I don't think they should be able to control the narrative. And I had a lot of fun at West End in the past, and there's a lot of fun still to be had there. This is a general area of interest for the entire city of New Orleans. Wherever you live in New Orleans, people went from all over New Orleans to go to West End. And it was fun, and it can be fun again. And we shouldn't let a couple of people who are just, you know, I don't know, how do you describe them? A stick in the mud? I mean, I don't even know if that's a cliche that even works anymore. But you know the type of people I'm talking about. Uppity people with a little money, and maybe they've got a few connections, and they're trying to use New Orleans-type mentality and power to shut somebody down who's doing music legally at the lakefront. I don't think they should be the winners. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 1983, Tom Evans, who was with Badfinger, he committed suicide. What's really sad is Tom Evans with Badfinger committed suicide on this day in 1983. 8 years earlier, his bandmate, Peter Hamm, committed suicide too. I mean, this was an incredible band. They were on Apple Records. Paul McCartney wrote this song. And, you know, Badfinger in a lot of ways sounded like the Beatles. And I'm sorry that they just, you know, fell apart so early. But Pete Hamm, he was, you know, just really the early genius behind Badfinger. And, you know, committed suicide very early on. And it was sad because it ended the band. And then Tom Evans did it on this day in 1983. So it's sad. All right, I've got some calls to get to, but I do want to talk a little bit about Warriors player Draymond Green, who was a loudmouth, and he confronted a Pelicans fan. So we'll get to that in just a few minutes. Let me tell you where the meeting is today at 4:30. If any of you can make it, go. Bring a couple of your friends. You enjoy music at West End? I mean, I know it's last minute, but this is an important thing. And if you can get there, that would be really cool. Let's see. Okay, so the meeting is taking place today at 4:30, and it's a public hearing, actually. Okay, let me get to it here. All right, here it is. It's on the second floor. This is in the original airport, Lakefront Airport, the original building, the old airport building, the Art Deco building out there. It's really a cool building. It's on the second floor in the conference room, and you are welcome. Man, if you're a band and you play at West End, you know, this is going to help you get jobs. You and your band members should just, I mean, pack up right now. You've got an hour. Just pack up right now. And some of you show up at this hearing. I mean, we're talking about music at West End, and you're going to let a couple of bougie people shut this down? They don't like the music. We don't want it loud. We want everything to be like nice like us. Well, you know, I don't know that you're really that nice, you know, and I'm tired of a few people thinking that they can control the rest of us. And we should all be tired of that. But man, if you're a band and you play at West End, this is an opportunity for you to get more jobs, because if they shut this down, many of you are going to lose out on some of these jobs. So the meeting is in an hour at 4:30. It's the second floor conference room at the old Lakefront Airport. It's really easy to get there. The old airport, the main building there, and it's on the second floor. And then tomorrow is the board meeting at 5:30, and I'm going to try to make that meeting. Okay, let's get to a few calls from people who have been holding on for a while. Let's go to let's go to Bernie and Kenner. Bernie, thanks for hanging on and welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good.
So I was watching the news this morning, and Mr. Trump made the statement that he threw Epstein out of his club because he was a pervert.
Okay.
So definition of pervert is someone considered abnormal or unacceptable who is engaged in sexual practices.
Mm-hmm.
So Trump knew something was wrong with him.
Yeah,
He said it this morning on the news. He knew that he was a pervert.
Yeah.
How could he not know what his perversions were?
Well, I think some would argue that, well, see, as soon as he knew he was a pervert, he threw him out. But they had a really good relationship for a very long time. Trump's name is on the manifest to be on the plane several times. with him. I don't think they went to the island, but they were he was on his plane with him. But at some point they had a disagreement, and they were not on good terms. And I think that's when the president threw him out of Mar-a-Lago.
I guess the next question is, why didn't he report him as a pervert if he knew he was having sex with underage children?
I think that is a fair question, and I don't know the answer to it, but I think it's a fair question. It's one
it's
of many questions.
Just something for thought.
Yeah. Bernie,
just something for thought.
I appreciate the call. Let's go to New Orleans East. Brown, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Scoop?
I'm good, Brown.
Well, first of all, Scoop, I want to congratulate you, okay? Thank you for the instructions you gave out regarding ICE. Oh, I'm a civil rights leader. I'm thinking about calling a news conference. You know, they don't give me much news anyway, but
no.
Group to explain to them, do not put up a resistance.
Correct.
I'm going to do the same thing you said. Exactly. You know, I might mention your name at the news conference.
Okay, if you want to, you can certainly do that. I would be honored.
Because, like I said, you gave out the right instruction. You just stop. Don't be nervous jumping out your car, telling the people I'm a U.S. citizen. Just be calm. Dial 911. Say I'm being stopped by ICE. Let them know they didn't identify themselves, and they stopped me. And I'm letting the New Orleans Police Officer Department know that I'm being stopped now.
And they need to, they need to identify themselves, and they need to have the proper warrant to enter your home, or you don't have to let them in your home. But I'm assuming they'll have the proper warrants, but we'll have to see. Brown, I appreciate the call, and if you have the press conference, let me know what happens at the press conference.
Thanks.
All right, I got to get to a break here, so if you're on hold, just hang on. We'll get back to more of your calls. There's a few things that I'm not going to get to this afternoon. We'll carry them over, so we will have even more to talk about on the show tomorrow. I want to remind you, the Pelicans are taking on Denver tonight, Smoothie King Center, tip-off 7 o'clock. If you can get to the game and support the Pelicans, do it. You know, honestly, you can buy. Last time I went, I bought a ticket for $18, and I found a seat down a lot lower, a lot closer to the court, down in the first level. And I went and sat in that seat because it was empty. And I would like to see people move. I would like to see the Pelicans tell people, like at the beginning of the second quarter, you know, if you're not there, you're probably not going. And if somebody comes and it's their seat, well, then you just move. But with all these people scattered all over, get them all down in the lower section. It's a benefit because you see the game better. I love the Pelicans to do that. Just get people down closer to the court, and it would also be better for the television view. It makes it look like the place is fuller, and it would also be better for the team to have the fans nearby. But see, I think, and I got to be brief here because we're late getting into this break. You know how I've talked about how the Saints seem to really play for Tyler Shuck because they knew he was going to be their quarterback? The Pelicans need a head coach now. They need a new head coach because they don't think this person is going to be the head coach. And so teams play when there's unity, and there's not unity because there's not a head coach. So they need to, Gail Benson's got the money. They need to go out and just find the best coach available or, you know, steal a coach from some other team if you can. Get a coach, whatever it takes. Just get a coach. Get the best head coach. I'm sure they're looking. But I just think it's important because I don't know that this is going to be a totally cohesive team until they get that head coach. But I'm going to try and get to the game tonight. All right. Also on the Scoot on the Air calendar, a sad note, Kevin DeBrow, the lead vocalist for Quiet Riot, died of a presumed accidental cocaine overdose on this day in 2007. He was only 52 years old. Yeah, you know, you can only do so much of that stuff, and you can only do it for so long before it's going to kill you. But you really should never do it. We'll be right back on WWL. Yeah, look, I mean, don't be cruel to these NBA players. And there was a fan in the stands. His name is Sam Green, 35 years old. And he was like down in the rich section of the seats. So the guy's obviously got money or knows somebody who has money. And Sam Green was shouting Angel Reese to Draymond Green. And Draymond Green's kind of a loudmouth. Sam was apparently doing this a lot during the game. In the NBA, the fans are close to the players, and there have been incidents where players have gone into the stands, gone up a couple of stairs to get in the face of a fan. I think to a large degree, I think these players need to just take it. I think they need to just ignore the fans. I don't care how many times a guy like Sam Green wants to call you a woman. He's trying to harass you, and don't let him. It doesn't take much to get these people to, it's not that they're going to stop right away, but if you just totally ignore them, eventually they might stop. As far as Sam Green's concerned, I mean, if you keep calling a guy, something derogatory, if you keep making fun of somebody, I don't blame them for getting in your face. Now, if they punch you, you're going to get a lot of money. So you might even want that. So they should never touch you. In fact, one of the officials came over. Her name is Courtney Kirkland, the official that night. One of the officials that night, she said to Draymond Green, "I've got this. You handled this really properly. Don't get yourself in trouble." Yeah, I mean, don't hit a fan, because then they're going to become a millionaire. And maybe Sam Green wanted that. I don't know. But I don't think it says much of Sam Green if he's going to spend that much money or use somebody's ticket to go to a game to just, he's obsessed with calling out one of the players. I mean, that's not even fun for the fans around him. But if a guy like Sam Green wants to do that, I think the player should just ignore him. We may talk more about that on the show tomorrow. I know we're running out of time. We really didn't get too many of your texts. But I do have a text that reflects something that a lot of people are thinking. Do you know who wants the Pelicans? It's a city that would support, I think, a basketball team today. They used to have a team. The team moved to Oklahoma City, became the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Seattle Supersonics. Now, I don't remember exactly why they left Seattle, but Seattle wants an NBA team, and they want the Pelicans, or a team that they can get right now. We don't want the Pelicans to leave, but we need to support the Pelicans. But also, the Pelicans need to show that they are invested in this team and that they are going to hire a coach and a good coach. They need to show us that they're serious about this team. And if they do, the fans are more likely to go. I'm going to try to get to the game tonight. I can't promise. There's a lot going on in my personal life, but I'm going to try to get to the game tonight. And I'm doing what I can. I mean, I even bought Pelicans merchandise. I'm going to do what I can to support the Pelicans, and I hope they stay, because I love having an NBA team here. I don't want this team to go to Seattle. I don't want them to go anywhere else. So it's up to the Pelicans to show us that they really care, that the Pelicans are not a stepchild to the Saints, and that they're a team that matters to them. And if they show that to us, then we can respond by going to the games. And let's just hope that, we support the team, and I'm hoping that they don't go anywhere.
And to put a little bow on it, a text, I just want to remind everybody that it is the job of Smoothie King Arena Security to beat the bleep out of the fans.
Well, that's right. That's right. Let the security beat up the people who are yelling at the players. Yeah, let them do it. In fact, the security did talk to the guy who was shouting, "Angel Reyes, Angel Reyes." Grow up. I'm Scoot. Hang on. We'll be right back on WWL. All right, coming up next, it's a Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettelier, Steve Geller, a QB to QB with Drew Brees at 4:35. It's Drew and the Cajun Cannon. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, studio producer Coleman, market manager Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller, traffic with Core DP. As always, I thank all of you for being part of the show. We'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow, because I didn't get to everything this afternoon. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.